What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beer Guts and Butter Cuts. My name is Jacob. With me, as always, I've got Caddy Josh.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Mr. Carmen.
What's going on, everyone?
So, everybody, we had the Sanderson Farms, another top-tier tournament that everybody was tuning into this past weekend. A bit of a headliner, though, for Sergio Garcia. Finally back in the winner's circle. Last win was at Augusta. And honestly, I felt like ever since then, I don't know if he was going to win again. So back in the winner's circle, I'm not happy about it. I've never liked Sergio Garcia. I don't think he's deserving of the win, but when you play with your eyes closed, you run a better chance. So before we get into everything though, be sure to follow us on Instagram at BGBC Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at BGBC_podcast. And to get in touch with us, email us at BGBCGolf@gmail.com. Unfortunately, we did not have a beer of the week this week. Rather than lie to you guys, it was my week and I forgot to pick one. So that one's on me. But next week, we will be back in full swing. I will have a beer of the week for you. I know that that's everybody's favorite segment that's a listener. They're always waiting on the edge of their seat to figure out what we're going to rate these beers. But next week, I promise we will have one back. Other than that, I say it's time to get into everyone's favorite segment, our own game. And Carmen, let's start with you. Were you able to get out to the range, play some golf at all?
I did get out to the range early in the week. I didn't get to play because, busy week at work, and then the weekend I was doing some stuff with my car. But I did get to the range, swung it pretty good. So overall, last time I played, I swung it pretty well, just putted horrendously. Swinging it pretty good, just trying to take it easy, trying not to swing too hard. I think that's kind of a trap I fall into sometimes, is maybe, get a little bit too frustrated, swing a little bit too hard, and then you start getting into topping and just sculling and shanking and stuff like that. But letting the clubs do the work for me. But no, it was good to swing. Hopefully get out there and play. I cleared up a lot of stuff off my schedule over the weekend and today, so hopefully I have a little bit of time this week.
When do you think you'll be able to go down to Boar's Head and play?
Not this weekend, but next weekend I think is when I'm going down there. So that's
Are you gonna have a caddy with you?
No, I don't think they really have caddies. They may have member caddies. I don't know. It's a really nice place, but it's not necessarily caddy tier.
Well, I meant Audrey, but that's good to know too.
She'll be out there riding with me, I'm sure.
I got you.
I didn't know if you meant like an actual caddy. I was like, I'm not big balling like that. But
so
I don't know if you ever get the chance, or even if you get the chance there, I don't know if they have, like you're saying, you don't know if they do or not. But if they do, dude, I think it's worth the money, because how many times have you gone to a new course where you're like, where can I miss it? This putt could go left or right and you're not sure, stuff like that, dude. A caddy is really helpful. Like when I'm out there at Eagle Point and we're getting those guys that come out here once a year, twice a year, first time ever, and probably the only time ever. Like I honestly feel like we are helpful because, they're looking at shots and they're like, where do I need to hit this? And I'm like, okay, well, you can be in the center of the green or you can miss left. Like safe is over here, dodge that bunker there, it's death over there. It's really helpful for a first time. So if you have the opportunity, it's definitely worth the $100, whatever the caddy fee is, plus tip. If you're going to play that place, one time, a couple times, it's definitely worth having the caddy, at least once. Like maybe if you went out there a second time, maybe not. But if you have the opportunity, I would definitely grab a hold of that.
Sure. Yeah, like if I ever go out and play a really notable course, if I ever play one of the big Pinehurst courses, or if, at some point I'm going to will it into existence, go out there and play Pebble. Courses like that, 100% spring for the caddy. Just because, like you said, as far as your game, you're going to play better. But it's just like you're enjoying your time out there. You're literally just going for a walk in the park.
And you're not lost. You won't be lost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'll just be for a more comfortable experience, especially if you get a good caddy or, a guy like you who can talk. If I ever play.
You saying I'm not a good caddy?
No, that's what I'm saying. I was like, especially a guy like you, like it's comfortable and you can talk. like it isn't even about the quality of the caddy, because they're all going to give you a read and stuff like that. Because where my game's at, you could tell me to hit it here, and I mean your guess is as good as mine where it's going to actually go. So just kind of guide me around.
You just gotta make sure that you don't get the caddy that just started that day.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Because that happened whenever I did it the first round out there. I didn't tell him on the range. I waited until we were on like the back nine, and so he was like, "How long have you been working on here?" And I was like, "This is actually my first loop. hopefully, I'm doing pretty good. You tell me." But yeah, it was funny. But all right, so you went to the range. What was working for you? What wasn't working for you?
That really felt good with my short irons. Didn't touch driver. Didn't really want to mess with it. Started hitting, like, every time I go out there, I try to hit some three wood, be comfortable with that. So that's coming along. But yeah, short irons, definitely doing some, like, target practice out there. They do, the range I go to, you know, they have some nice flags out there, so at different distances, so I can shoot them. And I'm really trying to dial in my distances. That was a huge issue last time I was out there. And pretty much every time. And part of it is because, again, like, I'm not going to strike it well every time. So there's going to be some, you know, some vary there. But just trying to get at least a consistent distance. Like, all right, well, each club is going to go usually this far. And then every now and then, if it goes short or goes further, then it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think you're approaching it right. You know, it definitely comes with time. It's not something where you just be like, oh, let me hit the new sticks. Oh, this goes 175. Sweet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Every club's different. And I think, and even for me now, like, I mean, I would say I'm playing well. Like, I'm, every time I tee it up, I'm probably 85 or better for the most part. And it's just like, I'm at a point now to where I'm like, okay, well, if I miss the 8, then it's not going to get there. So let me hit a smooth 7. And like, you know, I don't know exactly how far these clubs are going to fly, but I know that I can pick between two clubs and kind of dial in the right trajectory. So it's definitely just like a patience game. And, you know, like you said, it's a grind. You know, you got to keep getting out there and keep hitting it.
Just got to keep swinging.
Yep. That's all you can do.
That's right.
So just quite the golf week. We'll start with you on Thursday. Talk to me about it.
Thursday. What was Thursday? No, we'll start Wednesday, the day before, because I played Castle Bay.
Okay.
So I played Castle Bay with another caddy friend of mine. His name's Kobe. He's a legend. Drops 30-footers on me left and right. He's a beast. He plays out of Pinehurst. I think that's where he's from.
Plays out of
Pinehurst. He plays out of Pinehurst. Nah, he's super cool. He grew up around Mid-Pines and stuff like that. He used to work some camps out there and stuff like that. So he's really cool. He's still in school at UNCW, but he's a great player. So I love playing with him because it challenges me and I can learn a few things because he's better than me. But I think I shot 82 or 83. I can't remember exactly, but it was right around there. Driver was hot. Putter was not. Shocker. But, I mean, I'm getting it around well. Like, if I can just keep grinding, I really need to dedicate a day to go practice. Because if I can get this putter to come around, I say it all the time, but, man, some people are in trouble. Because I feel like I'm hitting the ball good. I mean, the irons are okay, but I think I know what it is now. It's like my distance from the ball. It's like I just need to like be an inch closer to it, and then I'm not hitting those little baby cuts anymore. It'll be stripe show. But so Castle Bay was good because I was using that as a practice round. You know, I wasn't really expecting much. Like if I would have shot 90, I wasn't going to care. Like I was literally just hitting because into the next segment of my part of my game is we played a Captain's Choice tournament at our home course, King's Grant, back in Fayetteville.
KG, baby.
And, man, did we light it up. 16 under, and we brought home the trophy. And coming down the stretch, we looked great as a team. I mean, all day we looked great as a team. We really did ham and egg it. Like, at least one person was hitting a good shot. Off the tee, out of the fairways, somebody was always close. And then what really helped is that the tournament allowed one red tee and one mulligan for each player. So we already knew out of the gate that we were using all mulligans on the greens. So that was super helpful, especially with Jacob. Jacob's putter was hot.
Hot tamale.
It was a hot tamale. Jacob was raining him in. MVP of the tournament, by the way. I think he played the best out of the four of us, honestly. But
yeah, I want to hear more about that.
I'll get more into the Captain's Choice tournament when Jacob comes around, because I also played Eagle Point today, and I got to bring Jacob out there. Shout out G. I shot 85. I missed the driver a couple times, but other than that, dude, I was really freaking pounding that thing.
Yeah,
there was a couple holes where I haven't felt the ball hit the center of the driver face like that in a long time. And I was roping it out. And then even coming down the stretch, I looked at Jacob and I was like, dude, let's go. It was 17 and 18. I was like, yo, let's go look at this hole from the tips, because it's just a different view back there on some holes, because it's just such a big difference between the greens to the tips. And we played 17, 18 from the tips. And like, even there, like, I could have gone par par, but I missed a short putt on 17. So I went bogey par from the tips on 17, 18. So, I mean, I played well. I was really chipping well, honestly. My 56 degree was really nice today. I felt like I was controlling the distance well, was giving myself good chances to make pars with the wedge and stuff like that. What let me down today was my irons, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I hit a few drivers, like, left and right and was in bunkers and was missing it. I was just kind of getting quick from the top. But I would say the biggest issue was the irons today. I just was not hitting them solid.
Yeah, some of the irons you hit were, like, on the front nine, it was more behind the ball. And then on the back nine, it was starting to thin a little bit.
Thin it to win it, baby.
But, hey, I mean, like, you still put together a good round. Like, even when you did that, it's not like you chunked it 2 feet in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the few that I caught heavy on the front, like, I was, like, trying to get them up and down for par, or I'd get a bogey out of it. So, let's see. How many doubles did I have? 1, 2, 3, 4. Five doubles.
Yeah.
But I mean, you saw it. That place is so pristine and so ridiculous. The greens are ice. What do you think? 12?
I'd say 11 or 12.
11 or 12 on the step meter? I mean, they're rolling. They're like glass.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's tough. I mean, it definitely helps that I get the caddy out there all the time so I know what's going on and I can kind of relate to my game a little bit better. Whereas you haven't seen it at all summer, but I still felt like I played well. And I mean, like you said, I mean, we played from 6,800 yards at the greens, and it's just a beast of a course, dude.
I mean, it was really fun because, like I said, I hadn't played out there, but it absolutely took my money today because I was doing the same shit that I do at Muni, except I was doing it at Eagle Point, and you just can't do that because at Eagle Point, you find yourself in a lot more, like, hard situations to play out of, whereas Muni, you have a look. You have the best look in the other fairway at the green than you do from the actual fairway of that hole.
Yeah, whereas like at Eagle Point, there's 8 million bunkers everywhere. It's like you miss a drive right. You could be on another hole in a bunker, which that didn't happen to us today, but I've seen it happen to people. Like you're saying, it makes it just so hard for the comeback shot, even though it's so open.
I mean, I was in the bunker either 7 or 8 times today. And like that, like, it's fine if it's a greenside bunker because I can play out of those, but the hardest shot to me in golf is a fairway bunker where it's like a 9-iron down. Like, for some reason, that's the hardest shot for me to hit. Because I always catch it back.
Or even, like, hole 8, we both put it in that bunker on the right, and we both had, like, 165 uphill to a back left pin location out of a fairway bunker, and it's like...
And that's another thing, too. The pin locations today were pretty tough.
Dude. That one on
diabolical.
That one on 5, the par 5.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Or no, number 4.
Number 4. It was right there on the front right.
It is karma. It is the meanest false front you will ever see in your life. Like, anybody who lands on the false front goes 20 yards back down the hill to a little valley, and you're chipping up. And the pin was on the, like, literally on the borderline of the false front.
I took some pictures of it when we were playing out there today. So I'll post that on our page. But, I mean, it was really cool. The course was great. Like, even though I played bad, I looked at Josh. I was like, dude, this is still fucking really fun.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's get into this Captain's Choice tournament because that's what everybody came here to hear. All
right.
What a win.
Let's just take it from the get-go. So we get there, and we're at the putting green, practicing, whatever. And then we go to the range. In the range session, if anybody saw us on the range and said – and looked at us and said, hey, you're ready to go shoot a 56 today as a team, I'd have been like, you're dead wrong. I mean, I was shanking the ball. Patrick was shanking the ball. I was topping drives. Like, nobody was hitting the ball good.
That's why you got to get out there, man. Get them all out before the round.
Well, that's exactly what we did, dude.
I'm sure glad that it happened that way.
Lower your expectations.
my expectations were, the bar was low for me. Because after the rain session, honestly, I thought a little bit, I was kind of worried. And even on the first tee, like, my ball went a little bit to the right. And I mean, you've played there, so you know that, like, the pine straw of the right hill, it brings back down.
Yeah.
But I felt like mine went way right, but it ended up coming back down.
And I lost my ball on that hill.
Yeah. But, I mean, basically, so from the rain session, I was worried. But then, so after the rain session, we still had about 30 minutes left, so we went back to the green. And I was working on chipping, and I'm working on a flop shot, and I absolutely bladed into Patrick's pinky. And
our own teammate.
Okay, run that back for me again.
All right, so after the rain session, we have about 30 minutes left before tee time. So we go back to the practice screen, and I'm working on flop shots, and Patrick's like, hit it to my hand. Or he's like, hit it right here.
AKA Sab McCollum.
And so I hit it, and I absolutely blade it like a missile. Like, it's going at least 70 miles per hour. And it just catches Patrick in the pinky. And I thought that he was fine. But then the next day, he texted me, and he was like, your vicious attempt to take off my pinky is now bruising on the bone.
Oh.
And I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't realize it was bad.
I didn't even see you do that. I think I was talking to
Trevor.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Shout out T-Skittles.
But yeah, so after that, you know, it just a lot of bad omens before the round even started. But I don't know what it was, man, but we started clicking on all cylinders. The first hole, Sam absolutely bombs one down to – it's actually in the rough by the creek, and we have like 70 yards. And Patrick, Sam, and I – pretty much throw darts. Like, we all have good looks at it.
I had a nasty chunk.
Yeah, nasty chunk. And then, but Josh gets up there and makes the birdie putt. And I was like, oh, shit, we might be on something.
Because I putted first on every hole because I was like, obviously, I'm the guy giving the line today.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we made the first one, and then we were rolling to number two.
And then from there, like, everybody played pretty well. Like Josh said before, if we ham and egg, like, we ham and egg the whole day. Like, most of the time we had two or three good looks at something, but I feel like the only hole that we didn't really have a good look at something was number four, the par three, where everybody missed the green.
Yeah. But like number two, so we find two drives in the right rough over those trees. So we've got like 170 in, playing like 180 up the hill. And like I said, like ham and egg, baby, all day. You three missed, and I stuck one, and it just went off the back barely. But we ended up getting that up and down for birdie.
Yeah.
And then, so we're two under. We go to number three. Who hit a missile down there? Somebody hit a missile.
We took Sam.
Sam hit a missile to those hills, Carmen. The hills in the right of past the trees.
Where? At number
three, before the green, there's all those little dune hills.
Yeah.
I'm trying
to catch up to where three. Yeah, okay. I'm with you.
So now we're in the hills. We get that up and down for birdie. So now we're 300 for three. We get to four. We make a par because
– is that downhill par three?
Yeah. And me, Sam, and Jacob missed left, and Patrick missed right. So we got that up and down for par.
And all the times I've played Kings Grant, I have literally shanked the tee shot on four into the trees dead right every single time.
It's honestly a pretty tough green to hit.
I've never once even kept it in play over there. It like it is living in my head. So whenever I go back down there, I'm aiming dead left.
Aim at the fucking road and put it on the green.
Sorry, go ahead.
So we're 300 through four. Then we get to five. I think Sam hit a missile down there again. Yeah. I mean, that's what we were relying on from out of the gate is to Sam to just hit bombs. And if he was out of play, hopefully one of the other three were in play from a little bit further back. So Sam hits a missile there. I think Jacob sticks the shot because I chunked it. Somebody else chunked it.
Sam chunked it.
Patrick missed a little left, and then Jacob stuck it on the left side of that green. And then we made that. We two-putted that for par.
Yeah.
So now we're 300 through five.
Yeah.
Then we get to six, and boom, it's red tee season.
Yeah.
We put Sam on the red tees on the par five, and this dude hits a bomb to like, we have like 100, 115 into this flag. So Jacob, I think we ended up taking Jacob's. He stuck that shot. And
Sam made the putt.
Yeah, Sam made
birdie. No, Patrick made
the eagle. Yeah, Patrick made the eagle for us. So now we're 6 under. No, 5. 3 under through.
Yeah, we're 5 under through so 6.
Now we're 5 under through 6. We get the 7. And you, Jacob, I'm filming. I could have swore he was about to make his first ever hole in one. I was like, that's in the hole. That's in the hole. He was like 5 feet right of it, past it a little bit. So we ended up making that for birdie.
Yeah, that's on 7.
Yeah.
That's 7. That's the par 3 by the road.
Yeah. So now we're 7 through 7.
7 under 3.
So now we're 6 through 7. So we get to 8. And
we take your drive.
I put it down in the right rough. We've got like 100 in because it's downhill. So we got a little rollout. Who stuck that shot? I can't remember. It wasn't me. I was short. You were short.
I think we might have taken Patrick.
I think Patrick did hit that green. It was either him or Sam. But
then we all four missed the putt. But it was a lot straighter than we thought. So I was like, give me my mulligan.
It was probably a 15 footer too. And I mean, I gave a good line. And then Sam was right on it, barely missed it. Patrick barely missed it. Jacob like rolls it over the edge, misses high. And then Jacob's like, give me that fucking ball back, mulligan. And then like in my head, I'm like, oh shit. I was like, I don't know if we should waste the mulligan here. Like we got par. Fucking Jacob center cuts this putt, dead in the heart, rails the flagstick, boom. We go nuts. Double fist pump down, flex the chest, let him know what's up. So now we're what? 8 through 8? No.
7 through 8.
7 through 8.
The best thing about this whole tournament, this was honestly the most fun I've had playing golf in a long time. And it was partially because I had a pretty good buzz throughout the whole entire tournament.
Oh, yeah, free beer. We were flowing.
The drinks were flowing pretty heavy. So
Sam texted us 2 hours before we even got there, and he was like, I'm already 3 deep.
But, yeah, so it was a lot of fun. But then we get a 9, and Sam hits a great shot, a drive up there by the green, and then Josh hits a great shot. We end up taking Josh because he's below the green, and we have a chip up there.
Sam was in some mud. There was, like, some tire tracks or something over there.
Yeah, so then we go up and down birdie there. So we finished the front 9, 8 on.
9's one of my favorite holes in golf.
Yeah, I love that hole.
That's where you got your first birdie.
I the most backwards birdie I've ever seen in my life.
Dude, it was awesome. Top to drive, hybrid to like 4 feet and make the putt.
Oh my god, that's a clinical birdie.
Yeah, that was
sick. So we're 8 under through 9, yeah. and we know we're on pretty good pace. And from there, it starts clicking on all cylinders. 10, we pretty much all of us hit good drives.
Yeah,
and then we go up and down for birdie on that. 11, we stick it. We end up making par there.
Yeah, it was like an 11-footer uphill, moving a little right.
So we missed that. And then 12, everybody hits a bad tee shot. And then it starts to get a little bit backed up. So Trevor and his family is playing behind in the group behind us, and they pull up to the tee. And, of course, Tanner's like, oh, we got to make sure that you guys aren't cheating today. And so everybody shanks it, or everybody hits a bad shot, and it's up to me. And I put it, like, in the right rough.
Yeah, you stepped up there. That was ice in the veins. Check them.
And then we didn't really hit a good shot. I think we had like a 20-footer, and we missed that. We made par there. But then from there, we went on – no. And then we went to the par 3 by the clubhouse, and we went we took Josh's shot, but we all four missed the putt.
Dude, that was a hard tee shot on 13 because it's the short par 3. It played about 120 yards, and there's a new patio out there, Carmen – with the clubhouse renovations, and there's just like a whole crowd up there, and they're like all hooping and hollering from
so
up
how
there.
Far does it stick out, because this is the one right near the range, right?
Yeah, so it probably comes out another like 12 feet,
so it's like over, like sitting right on top of the parking lot down there almost.
No. I mean, it overhangs where you park the cars.
You know that little roadway that used to run where they used to drive carts up?
Yeah,
it just hangs out over that.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, nothing crazy. Just the simple deck. It looks really nice, though.
It's nice.
But there's people up there, and they're hooping and hollering. It's like our old basketball coaches and them and stuff like that. But the sun is just dead in our eyes. Like, none of us – we had to all watch each other's shots because it was like – I was the last one to tee it up, and I was like, y'all watch this. And, like, as soon as I swung, I was like, where did it go? I had no idea. But it was like 10, 12 feet
slider coming down,
down coming down the hill. So we all about lipped out on that one. So we took par there.
But so then from there we go on an absolute heater. And I'm talking like best golf to finish a round ever. So then you got 14 over the water, the par four, and we take Patrick's three wood because he hits a nice cut out there. And then we got like 100 in, and I stick it to like 6 feet, and I think Sam makes that putt.
Birdie, boom. Double fast, keep going.
15, the par five. We don't take a red tee because I hit like a pretty good power fade. And we've got –
that was the cleanest cut around that dog leg.
Yeah, that's a – you can't really cut that too short anyway just because of how harsh of a dog leg it is. So that's probably –
well, but yeah, but the tees were up a touch. So Jacob hit like a mean cut around the corner. It was sick.
Sick.
And then so from there we've got like 200 to the green uphill.
Playing like 215.
And Josh absolutely pures one to about 12 feet on the green. And I make the eagle putt, and we're going absolutely crazy again. Like, we're yelling. Every time we made a big putt, like, we were yelling. And Trevor and his family behind us, like, they would start yelling for us. They'd be like, let's go. Like, yeah. They would start hooting and hollering for us.
So and we then, eagle that, and now we're really flying. We're like, all right, boys, three holes to go. Let's go play hard.
And at this point, I'm starting to black out.
Yeah. Like, we are just, like, we're just on a different level. And then – we all hit bad shots on the par three, except Jacob steps up, and this is the hardest par three on the course. It's like downhill, 195. You have to like absolutely lace the five iron. It's dead left. There's trees right, and Jacob sticks it to like 8 feet. And we're like, holy shit right now, like going nuts. Like I haven't seen Jacob hitting irons like this in a while, like just peering it. Sam makes that. Birdie. So we went eagle, birdie, 15, 16. We get to 17, and I'm like, and it's a little backed up still, and I'm like, y'all hang out right here. I drive up to the red tee, because I still have mine, and I'm like, and it's 2:30, and I'm like, yep. So I drive back, I'm like, y'all tee it off, boys. I said, put one in play, because I'm going after this flag. So they, I think Patrick put one in the fairway. I can't remember where even Sam went.
I went straight right.
I think we only had Patrick's in the fairway, and we didn't even end up finding it.
Yeah,
it was plugged somewhere. So I step up, and now we have a gallery, like people that have already finished, because there was tee times, it wasn't a shotgun start. So now like people that already finished are like coming to watch us to see where we're at and stuff like that. And we have like four guys watching us. It's Sam's brother and dad and their two friends, and then. And it's like we're waiting on the group in front of us. So now it's like really time's ticking. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I have to be big right now. Carmen, I have never – this is the best golf shot I have ever hit in my entire life. I have
never – You said it was on 18?
No, 17. I took a red tee.
Oh.
So it's 2:30 to like a middle right flag. And I was like, three wood all day. Like, let me just maybe choke down a touch and just try and get through it smooth. And so finally it's time for me to hit after like 5-6 minutes of waiting because we had to wait for them to clear the green. And it felt like I never even hit the ball, like just straight off the center of the club face, never left the flag. And I put this shit to like 10 feet.
Really?
From 2:30. And fucking I give the line on the putt. Somebody else hits. So we like barely missed the eagles. And Patrick Sabmacaulay fucking rains it in, eagle. So now we've gone eagle, birdie, eagle on three of the last four holes.
Damn.
And we step up to 18, and I'm like, all right, we got to go get at least one more birdie or another eagle. And Jacob's like, my turn, red tee. So we all hit some good – I bombed a drive out there to free you up.
He was in the middle.
I was in the middle of the fairway. We probably had like 220 to that green. And Jacob steps up to this red tee. And because there's that bridge and a creek that you have to cross to get into the next section of the fairway, because it's par five. It's like, what did I say? It was like 245 carry or something like that. Yeah. Jacob hits the meanest baby cut I've ever seen in my life. Just smashes it. And I'm behind him. As soon as he hits it, I'm like, go, go, go. Like running down the fairway. I'm like, go, go, go. And it clears it. And I'm like, let's go. So now we've got like 100 in on 18. And I about cold shanked it, honest. I hit a cut and it went over the bunker and hit off the right and went down the hill a little bit. But Jacob, Sam, and Patrick stick the second shot.
They're have the flags around.
Like, it is literally, they are in a triangle around this thing, and they're all about 10 to 12 feet within it. So then we select a putt, and we end up two-putting it for birdie. I think one of us slipped out for eagle. But we finished birdie, and we finished and win the tournament by one.
Damn.
It was a crazy last 4 holes.
That was a long-ass story, but I can't tell you, like, how much fun I had.
It sounds like it, man. I'm jealous.
I live for Captain's Choice tournaments.
And it was like, and it wasn't like we all just like played well and we got around and like, yeah, we made birdies. It was like we were hitting big shots and dropping putts.
And see, that's what we need to do, man. We just need to get together and like go on a tour of Captain's Choice tournaments.
Dude,
honestly, like, I think they have that. Like, I know they do a lot.
Captain's Choice tour?
I don't think it's a tour, but like for like the CGA, like, I'm pretty sure that I know they have two-man teams. I don't know if they do a lot of four balls.
They do have a two-man team because I actually got the caddy last week on Thursday in a USGA qualifier at River Landing for one of my members. They called me and requested me, and it was a two-man tournament. And if they qualified, they would have gone to Seattle to play in the next tournament. But we ended up shooting one under, and the other two teams, the only two teams out of 50 or 45 or something like that qualified, and they both shot 500. We were 406, but then we gave two bogeys back on 8 and 9, and then we just kind of stayed there.
And then it went downhill.
Yeah, we just kind of froze and got stuck in the fridge. But, man, I had a blast doing that too. But, man, that Captain's Choice tournament, and everybody was pissed. Everybody was so mad at everyone. And I was eating it up. I was like, haters gonna hate. We balled out. I was like, nobody can put down those last 4 holes to bring in the title.
I know, so like, it
was spectacular, dog.
Honestly, it would have been a little slimy if nobody had seen it, because that is kind of a crazy scorecard. But, like, a lot of people were watching all the shots that we were hitting.
Yeah, like, George and them were behind us the whole time.
And then Marcus Sheila were in front
of us. They were in front of us. And then Sam's family came out and watched us play 17. And I think when they saw that, they were like, man.
These guys.
But I've never hit a shot that good in my life. Like, I probably won't do it for a while.
Yeah,
it was just one of those times.
It was a lot of fun, and you know, like even when we played Carmen, like when we played in that Fable Tech tournament, like that was fun too.
That was so much. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Dude, that stroke system was bullshit.
Yeah, we were what 14 under, and we finished like middle of the pack.
To be fair, I wasn't
playing my handicap.
Yeah, you and Will were playing under two different names.
I was playing. I was playing people. To a six.
Yeah, so that probably didn't help you out too much, but. Yeah. But no, it was still fun. Like I love tournaments like that.
Yeah, good times.
Free beer makes it, man.
Oh my god, dude! Like I crushed like 4 before we even teed off.
I was right there with you.
It was awesome, and I think that might have been why I played pretty good. I was just preed up.
That's the best way to do it, man. Like especially in Captain's Choice tournaments when you know someone else can pick you up, to start slugging some brews and see what happens.
And that was definitely like, we were definitely freed up from the get go because we all, literally all 4 of us shoot mid to low 80s almost consistently. Obviously we have our bad rounds here and there, but for the most part, we're all right there around 85 or better. And we just knew that we were going to ham and egg that place. And with KG just reopening, man, like we were all just pumped.
So, how was the course? Give me a review.
The course looks good, man.
It does look good. The greens look really good. They're just a little slow still, but I mean, by next summer, they'll be rolling pure.
But from the time, because I played it about a week ago before that on the last podcast, I shot 78, and the greens and during the Captain's Choice tournament were already a little bit faster after a week and a half or so. So I think, and I'm pretty good friends with the pro up there, and you know, he said they're just, you know, sanding up, rolling up, trying to get that speed up. So I think they just need a little bit more time and stuff like that. But with them having that big break, I mean, all the grass just had plenty of time to fill in. So, like, everything's, like, a lot more fuller. And it doesn't look, like, amazing. You're not like, holy shit, King's Grand updated. But it does look a lot better. The clubhouse is sick.
Clubhouse is sick, dude. next time you come, like, even if you come to Wilmington, we should just go up there for the day and play up there just so you can see the clubhouse, man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I do, yeah. I do want to get back and play KG, my birthplace of golf.
We can ride by Burnside, too.
We can. Pour one out for the old homie.
Y'all even know who lives there now?
The people that live next to us bought it.
Really?
Yeah.
No living?
No, I think they got it for their kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But yeah, so a really
that fun kid doesn't team. Even know what he's
got. They don't know what that place has seen. But no, it was a really fun golf week. Like I said, it was the most fun I've had playing golf in a while. Like every time I play, it's always fun. But like to have like teammates and stuff, it makes it that much
fun. And to have the freedom to know that like if you just cold shank one, like who gives a shit? Like just go pick it up. You got someone else. Like, there's just nothing better than that.
I just love how, like, after every good shot, all four of us were like, let's go. Like, we were making such a ruckus for every good shot.
That's how it should be, though, man.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. But, all right, enough about that. We took up way too much time with that. I didn't think we were going to go hole by hole.
It was needed.
But that was fun.
Everybody had to understand what we went through.
Let's quickly recap the Sanderson Farms. I'll be quite honest. I didn't watch any of it. I only know that Sergio Garcia won. So I'm going to kind of let you guys handle it. Maybe you guys watched a little bit more than I did.
I watched a good bit of the last day. And man, it's just – I mean, congrats, Sergio Garcia. I mean, I don't hate him as much as Jacob does. I really don't have anything for or against him. I mean, I just don't. But – putting with the eyes closed is just an insane concept to me. Like, if I'm not putting well in my lifetime, no matter how good or bad I get from here, like, there's just no way that an option in my head is going to be like, let me close my eyes and swing this putter.
That's big dicking.
And just be, like, all feel. And to go win the tournament by doing it. Like, I mean, shout out. Well done. It was, like, it was just so weird, though, because he'd be going through his routine, and then he'd, like, look down the line, look back at his ball, and just shut his eyes and go. And I'm like, dude, you literally have no idea. Whether you feel like you're doing it good or not, it's just like you have no idea if you are. It's like, how can you do that? It's insane. But shout out JT Poston. He's fucking sick too. He played really well this past week.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I watched a little bit on Sunday. I was pretty much out of the game on Saturday. But, no, I mean, Sergio did look good. I mean, obviously he had that well, like 230-yard shot to like 4 feet or something like that for eagle towards the end there. Yeah, I mean that was pretty incredible. So I mean he played well. I mean it's always whether you like him or not, it's always interesting to see guys who were towards the top of the game for a while who've fallen off come back and win. I mean I think that's always an interesting story to watch because he's been pretty much terrible since the Masters. I mean, to put it bluntly,
awful.
Yeah, he's had a couple tournaments here and there. I mean, I think it's a similar thing to Spieth, except he never really got the heights that Spieth was at, right? And he's also a little bit older, a lot older. Because he's pretty much Tiger's class. Like he came up with Tiger.
Yeah.
Dude,
my favorite video of him is when they're like both like super young, like they look like they're in high school out there on tour. And Tiger Woods is like looking at the camera and he's like, hey guys, that's Sergio Garcia.
Oh, yeah.
I'm running over and he's like, can I have your autograph? Can I have your autograph? And then like Sergio Garcia starts like jumping up and down like a kid. That shit is so funny.
Yeah, like it's definitely interesting to see guys. And I think that's one of the really interesting things about golf compared to other sports. One, because it is individual, but the length of your career, I mean, he won when he was what, 20? And then he's won again when he's in his 40s. I mean, that's all. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty awesome. You know,
I'm pretty sure he hasn't lost his card once. Like, he's been playing the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously had a great career, but certainly did not get the most out of his talent.
Yeah.
For sure. But, no, I mean, he looked good. JT Poston looked really good.
Well,
let me ask you this. Do you see him kind of continuing this solid performance going forward, or do you think it was just kind of a one-week dealio?
I mean, I think he'll play well. I don't think he's going to win again.
Yeah.
One-week dealio. He's playing against a scrub field. This guy's got no chance ever.
Yeah. Okay.
Never winning a major again.
Well, okay. That's probably easy to say.
Yeah. Never winning a major
again. Dude, but how about Carmen, you said you watched Last Day, right? How about Peter Malnati?
He's good, man. He's 16, another guy 3. Who will stick his nose in there every now and then.
Dude, he was almost about to win it for a while until Garcia made the last – what did he make, Eagle or Birdie on the last hole? Whatever, he did to win it.
Eagle.
But freaking Peter Malnati, he was waiting around for an hour and a half to see if anybody was going to beat him. Dude, he jumped 12 spots, I think, on the last day to play second.
Yeah, I loved his reaction once Sergio Garcia hit that shot. And it just, like, laughed him. Like, you can't do anything about that. Like, if a guy's going to go and put one – to 3 feet from like 240. Yeah. You know what? You got it, man. Like, that's, you just got to tip your cap and move on. Take your second.
Yeah, and the announcers were saying, like, Peter Malnati is just like such a great guy. Like, they would love to see him mic'd up full time. Like, he was just like, I'm just enjoying being in the spotlight for once, like, having fun while I'm out here. So, what a great attitude. I feel like I would hope to have that same attitude.
It's the right one to have. Made himself some money this week.
Yeah, he did.
And so going into the Shriners Hospital for Children Open.
The first tournament in a couple weeks where it's actually a pretty solid field.
And first time in a couple weeks, we have our players back.
Yeah, I got three boys going.
I've got two. Carmen, you said you got two?
Yeah, I got Ricky and Tony.
Okay. So our boys are back in it. But the question on everybody's mind is, who do you want to win? Who do you think will win? And Josh, we'll start with you.
Who do I want to win? I've got Patrick Cantlay, Abraham Anser, and Webb Simpson playing.
I want any of those three.
I want one of those three to win. But out of those three, I would like to see, for my team's sake, if this was like a realistic thing, I would really like to see Abraham Anser win because he really struggled those last couple weeks before the FedEx Cup. And I would like to see him kind of step right back into it, pick back up where he was playing some good golf. And I'd like to see him show out, maybe grab a win and get hot going forward towards the Masters. Who do I think will win? I'm going to put all my eggs in the pot for Scottie Scheffler to get his first PGA Tour win.
Interesting.
Not a bad pick. I don't think he – how did he play this week?
Not great.
Yeah. But, hey, you never know. It changes week
to
week.
I think he missed the cut, to be honest with you.
It's a different course.
Different course, different week.
Different course. I'm all about this rookie. He's a sick player.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely.
I'd like to see him, you know, grab a dub and show and actually get something for the good golf he has been playing, besides last week, I guess.
All right, Carmen, who do you think? Or who do you want? Who do you think?
Who do I want? Ugh, man. I'm just like, it's like masochism right now. Like, Ricky Fowler is who I want to win. Like, it. Like, I just keep I like the pain, I guess. I want to see Ricky Fowler win. I mean, it'd be good.
It hurts so good.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good for the game. And, like, obviously it would be good for BGBC, obviously. But, like, I just want to see him do well. Like, get hot, finish strong, and ride it in the next year. Just something for the morale. But
I want to see him happy again.
Yeah, I just want to see him enjoy life, you know. I know he's been struggling, and I just want him to be, you know, in the right headspace. But that's who I want to win. Who do I think will win? I think Matt Wolf is going to win. He's a guy who's been playing really well down the stretch. He's won before on tour. He obviously kind of had a bit of a meltdown at the US Open. He's had a tough time closing, but he has done it before. So he does have the experience, and he's been playing well. So at a field that is strong but not – obviously by no means the major field. I think if he has a week like he had at the PGA or at the US Open, I think he could run away with it.
Running away with it at the Shriners? He does have that killer instinct, though. You can tell that, like,
he can get hot. He can go on.
He wants to be out there, and he wants to compete.
Yeah.
So once he just figures out a way to finish, dude, he's going to be really, really dangerous.
All right, guys, you ready for this?
Put it on us.
Who do I want to win? My man's in the field. Duff Daddy. Come on, Duffers. I want him to win so bad, it's not even funny.
Just give you one more.
Dude, I mean, just he's got one of the most smoothest swings on tour, in my opinion.
Maybe that's your good luck charm. Maybe if you buy him this week, it'll get your team jump started.
Wow. I will not fall for your devil tricks. However, who do I think will win? I'm taking my man Harris English.
Oh, nice. I like that.
I think that's a guy who's been playing pretty solid lately. And I might need to be fact-checked on this. Hasn't won before. But I'm hoping he gets a win here this week.
Harris English, pulling up the profile now. 6'3", 31, 185 pounds. Turned pro in 2011.
Any wins?
I think he does have one.
Top 10 finishes one. Best year wins one. He won in 2013.
What do you win?
Career wins, he has two.
That might be like on a different tour or something.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right, anyways. I wanted to win. It's been 7 years since his last win. I wanted to win. But, yeah, so that's my guy, Harris English. I'm not going to put money on it because I think that my guys are going to go out there. I think either DeChambeau or Morikawa will win by themselves. But if not, I think Harris English will do it. So, you guys got anything else before we sign off?
Probably going to go to the score, probably.
I would.
How many doubles did I make? One, two, three, four. Five. You want to count yours?
Sure.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and a triple.
Love that.
What did you end up shooting, Jago?
93. Woo! After a hot week at KG, come back to Eagle Point.
Yeah, like a little
you
bit.
You really
of
did
a
play well at KG, though.
Super Bowl hangover right there.
You really were the MVP of that KG tournament in my eyes out of the four of us.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate everything. If you want to get in touch with us, email us at bgbcgolf@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at bgbcpodcast and on Twitter at bgbc_podcast. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Do it.